Meringue.
Dusty Bun?
Dusty Hera.
I've been really busy. I'm trying to save the world from Russians and monsters.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader.
Of course you have.
1080.
I want to hear it.
The Fan.
Hour number three, Danny and Dusty here on this Wednesday afternoon. The Meringutang is currently at the WNBA press conference. WNBA coming back to Portland. If you missed our conversation about that in hour number one, check it out. The audio vault on the Odyssey app or at 1080thefan.com. Also, you can just rewind on YouTube, you know. You can watch any of the shows all over again.
You can go hit chapters on the Odyssey app, too.
Shoosh. But we had, you know, the WNBA coming back. Big deal, man. It's a big deal for the city because, again, you get a WNBA team back. It is good for local economy and the fact that the WNBA is rising in popularity and rising in viewership. Coming back in 2026, it'll be their first season. Still waiting on a name.
Yes.
For this team. But 2026 is when they will be back. It is huge for women's sports here locally in the area. And I'm here for it, man. So,
well, and Portland has proven to be a great supporter of women's sports.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Absolutely. From the Thorn support to the first ever women's sports bar in the country was open, world was opened here with the sports bra. So, yeah, women's sports here, it means a lot. And I think it's great for the city of Portland that the WNBA is coming back. All right. Go a little bit NFL here. Baker Mayfield's been playing lights out. Last year, we've said it time and time again, he's played like a top 10 quarterback in the NFL last year. The first 2 weeks of the season, he's played like a top 5 quarterback. And this is a guy that people wrote off after clunky start to his career in Cleveland, after his redemption tour in Carolina went absolutely sideways. Mm-hmm. And today he was asked about not just him, but Sam Darnold and their time that they spent in Carolina, and was asked about Bryce Young. And I think that oftentimes we hear guys that get labeled away, and it's like, oh, people are unfair. People can't change, whatever. You know, they don't get their second chances. You know, I'm starting to buy in more and more to Baker Mayfield because this sounds like a guy who is actually matured and hasn't just said it and it been fluff.
Obviously, mine didn't happen in the same time frame with Bryce, but quarterback's hard, especially for young guys, when you're not surrounded with the pieces that, you know, not given the opportunity to have success. And so that's a lot of the time guys have the talent, they might have the brains, but they don't have the right opportunity, the right fit. I mean, I'm sitting here right now and in a way better fit than the other places I've been. And that's not to put other teams down, but it's a matter of the pieces around you, the coaches, and for Bryce, a guy that, you know, I can relate to this, finding that belief within yourself again, and he'll get it. His story's far, far from finished.
I like that from Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
I think that that is a guy who has been humbled. He has been shown the other side of things after, you know, the guy stepped in it. It's not just, you know, the arrest at Oklahoma where he gets tackled by a cop and just did not show great breakaway speed there, for being honest. But it wasn't just that, but the planting the flag that he got criticized for at Ohio State, the grabbing his junk directed towards the Kansas sideline, was it? You know, the guy, it was just like those little things. His time in Cleveland where, you know, people just said he was more of a partier and living the NFL lifestyle than wanting to be a great NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, the whole Cheesecake Factory incident.
Yes.
Back behind the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
That is a guy who is young, immature, has stepped in it, did not perform well either.
Mm-hmm.
And you've kind of seen the way that he has handled himself, especially in Tampa, has been like a professional would, like a grown-up. And I think that hearing him say that about Bryce Young, now Baker didn't come in with all of the same knocks as Bryce Young.
Right.
You know, people said he's too short, which he's taller than Bryce Young.
Still short for an NFL quarterback.
And Bryce Young's listed at, like, what, 6'2"? But he is a skinny man, and nobody's ever said that about Thick Boy Baker.
Right.
But it was also, I think, he's speaking to what Caleb Canales really tried to hammer home during the OTAs about Bryce Young.
By the way, did you say 6'2 for Bryce Young?
Yeah, what is he? Was he
5'10?
5'10?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's short.
Yes.
That is very short. I saw him listed. Somebody had him listed at like 6'2". I was like, there's no effing way.
No way.
So he and Baker is not 5'10". Bryce Young is like Kyler Murray short and very skinny.
They got Baker at 6'1".
Yeah. Yeah, so he's
still not large for an NFL quarterback.
Not at all.
No.
But with Bryce Young, there were these warnings of his stature, his ability to push the ball down the field. But what Dave Canales said was, you know, right now, the on-field stuff was the furthest thing that they were trying to fix with Bryce Young. They were trying to fix Bryce Young's confidence after having what was described in Carolina as three different coaches trying to tell him three different things, and then zero faith or, you know, there was nobody backing him up, like, emotionally.
Right.
Support-wise. And in Carolina. And that was the thing that Canales, did I say Caleb Canales? That's not right. That's the former Blazers coach.
Oh, I caught with the Canales.
Dave Canales.
Yes.
He has been saying, no, we're trying to just build him up from the base again, which Dave Canales, Baker Mayfield's coach in Tampa.
Uh-huh.
That's what he did.
Well, there we go.
And you heard Baker Mayfield right there. It's like, it's about recapturing the confidence in that you have in trust within yourself. And that's the biggest thing about any of these reclamation projects, right? You heard Kevin O'Connell talking after the Minnesota Vikings beat the San Francisco 49ers, and he was talking about how proud he was of Sam Darnold for finding that confidence again and the coach getting choked up over that.
Yeah.
That is kind of where you got to start with a guy like Bryce Young at this point. Any highly drafted person who does not live up to the expectations is quarterback is really hard.
Yeah.
Because you are in charge of not just distributing the ball, but pre-snap, everything that you're in charge of, having conviction in the reads that you make and what you're seeing pre and post-snap. You have to be the guy that everyone else on that entire franchise relies on. And that takes an immense amount of confidence.
Well, and hopefully Dave Canales can, you know, kind of resurrect him and lift him up, and we can see what he can be, because between Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield and now with Bryce Young and early in his career, I'm not sure it's the Carolina Panthers that have a quarterback problem. I think it's the Carolina Panthers have a Carolina Panthers problem.
They do. And they really do. And
you know, in poorly run franchises, like, you know, there's probably a reason why Baker Mayfield didn't succeed in Cleveland either.
Yep. And then there's also the aspect of, and Baker touched on it too, and I've been beating this drum. Like, you can't expect a guy to be a great quarterback with no weapons around him. You don't. Your offensive line is bad. The weapons at receiver on the outside are bad.
Yeah.
What do you expect? And then you add on top of that his limitations physically.
Yeah, you're not putting him in a position to succeed.
What? And Canales looks like he should be standing up there with like a newspaper as a proof of life. It looks like he's being held hostage when he's trying to talk about like, nah, we just want to keep things private on the conversations and how everything went down. Yeah, that's because your owner has an edict that he is coming down from his mountaintop saying, no, this is what needs to happen, and you're not in control of it. And that sucks. That sucks for Dave Canales. It sucks for the Carolina Panthers and their fans. But Baker Mayfield, his redemption arc is pretty steep, man, because that was a guy that a lot of people were out on. And now he's lighting up the NFL, and he's handling himself like an adult.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see with Baker.
Yeah, it's a nice little redemption story. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the latest in recruiting violations in college football, because this is awesome. It's great. It's juicy. Actually, it's more buttery, I believe.
Yeah.
Maybe a little flaky.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a recruiting violation that is absolutely worth it. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase. I got a buddy, my co-host on the program pod, Cole Linehan. If you like the Ducks, download the program podcast. He has a story. Remember my wrestling buddies? Remember wrestling buddies?
Oh, yeah. The stuffed guys, stuffies.
I mean, we all wanted Macho Man or Ultimate Warrior or the Hulkster.
Yeah. Maybe Andre the Giant.
And he got one year, and it was Ted DiBiase. He got the Million Dollar Man. It's like, that's a letdown.
That is a bit of a letdown.
That's a letdown. Yeah. But it was, you know, those are the days you had to go to Toys R Us. You couldn't Amazon that bad boy.
Nope.
You had to go, and you had to go to the Toys R Us over off 217, right next to the Shanco, on the west corner of Highway 217 and Shoalsbury Road.
Open Monday through Friday till 8.
Saturday and Sunday till 5. Yeah, that was back before they were online at Shanco.com. all right. Well, we have a new recruiting violation in college football. We knew that this was going to happen. We're seeing across the board, the NCAA is backing away, man. They are stepping back in the world of NIL. It's a different animal. But every now and then, you're going to have a coach who has it within himself. He has the gall. He has the wherewithal to step out and publicly make a recruiting violation. And that's exactly what Marshall head coach Charles Huff did prior to their meeting against the Ohio State University.
I'd love to have some of those guys from Ohio State, too. So if they want to transfer on down, we've got a Tutor's Biscuit NIL all you can eat. So if any of those guys that run really, really fast at Ohio State like Tutor's Biscuits, I promise you, all you can eat all day if you transfer here. So, but yeah.
All you can. And now, can I just throw this one out there for you?
Yeah.
Maybe that's the reason why your team isn't fast, Coach Huff.
All you can eat.
All you can eat biscuits. And by the way, Tudor's Biscuit World is a restaurant chain. And it's found in West Virginia, which is where Marshall is. And they got an NIL deal with the Marshall Thundering Herd. I'll tell you, that it perked my attention. All you can eat biscuits? I mean, maybe you're going to get some more linemen than receivers, but this may be a two-parter. It might be the reason why your team is so slow. Is they're just eating all those biscuits from Tudor's Biscuit World? Or maybe it's the millions of dollars they can get at Ohio State that's keeping them there. I love that from Charles Huff.
Absolutely. That's fantastic.
And as funny as that is, you know his compliance director was just like, oh, God, this is a whole... This is not going to be good.
This is not going to be good.
Every year we get the list of infractions that schools self-report. And when that comes out, and it usually comes out like July-ish, early August, you get the full list of infractions that are self-reported by universities. I can't wait to see how Marshall frames this violation, because this technically is a recruiting violation, an inducement violation by Charles Huff. And it'll be comedy to see how they report this to the NCAA and what the NCAA actually does. Because not all recruiting violations are equal, right? I mean, this is not
Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh even downplaying the it was just cheeseburger. Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't. You know it wasn't. You know that, Jim. We all know that, Jim. That was not all that it was at Michigan. But this is going to be comedy when Marshall has to self-report and somebody has to take that comment very seriously and turn it over to the NCAA.
All you can eat all day.
Tudor's Biscuits, baby. That's how you're going to get the new ones. That's how you're going to get those new recruits. Look, like what are we going to pitch here? Portland State, what are we going to pitch? Give me Portland State.
We got your voodoo donuts.
You got all you can eat voodoo. Mm-hmm. You can do voodoo donuts there, Barney.
You can do some salt and straw.
Yeah, salt. Yeah, that's a good one. What's more? What do we got near the park blocks there? You can do
Well, let's not talk about the cheerful tortoise.
Why not?
Just, okay.
Well, yeah, but it's cheerful. Yeah. It's right there, right on campus.
Not so cheerful these days.
So it's right there on campus.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, something about, they got a good food cart pod down there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What if we did Jake's? Hey!
Hey!
Jake's!
There we go.
Yeah, you need some oyster shooters. You do Jake's. That's close enough. We could do Jake's there.
Yeah.
You could do Corvallis. You got American Dream Pizza, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we still got the McCormick and Schmick's down on the waterfront?
Or is I think that's gone.
Are there any of those left?
I don't think there are any more left. Yeesh. I could be wrong on that. I could be wrong on that. Portland State, all you can watch, Mary's Club.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta go across the river, then there's the A-Crop. You have all you can eat the steak bites.
Yeah. Short jaunt. Short jaunt. Yeah. Of whooping cough vaccinations.
Right. Come on down to Zoom Care.
Too soon? I think they're all right. They're playing Boise State.
They're playing,
this
yeah.
Playing Boise State this weekend. We're back, baby. We're back, baby. Some bangers and mash at Kells.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah. See, we're writing it for you, Barney.
They're like mothers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Pine State biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
We got those.
Boom.
Boom. That's how you do it. Yeah, we got biscuits of our own.
There we go.
In your face, Chuck Huff. Marshall.
You guys in West Virginia.
Yeah. We need those fast guys. Dude, why don't you just go find a Randy Moss who got kicked out of Florida State again? Why don't we just start there?
Yeah.
Go back to your roots.
Find the guys that got in trouble.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are sticking with it. It's working for them.
Golly. Randy Moss, just a cheat code out there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Charles Huff giving us a new recruiting violation, and it's going to be a hell of a thing when they have to actually self-report it. In college football, though, there was big news last night. Ross Dellinger, Yahoo Sports, he broke a little news for us, and it does not bode well for the Pac-12. Spoiler alert. Here's Russ with SportsCenter. Perfect wrestling intro for the ACC. They got a little life like the Undertaker popping up out of the casket. Last night, Ross Dellinger, Yahoo Sports, gave life to the ACC. We're not sure if this is going to be something that will lead to the ACC surviving, because this is something that does need approval by the universities, and not just the university suing the ACC, Florida State and Clemson, but approval by 2/3 of its member institutions as well. But their effort to keep the ACC alive, this could be huge for it. Basically, what they want to do is they want to give a revenue share of the television money based off of performance in football, potentially basketball as well, television ratings, and your media value of the university. So what this will do is basically
give the haves more and the have-nots less.
Yeah, but at the same time, if it's based on the metrics of performance and how many eyeballs are attracted to it,
mm-hmm.
That's what the Pac-10 used to be. Before the Pac-12 was formed in equal revenue share, and that's why USC got pissed and was like, we want our big share again. Mm-hmm. We don't like this, even though USC wasn't carrying the weight of a program that athletically deserved the eyeballs because they weren't very good, right? Yeah. But if people watch, that's what they want this to be based off of, because all of the revenues that these leagues operate on are based off of your television deals. So the league already did pass the ACC a performance pool of money. So if you perform better in football and basketball, your school could make upwards of $25 million if you check all the boxes, right? Mm-hmm. For football, it is qualify for a bowl, finish in top 25, advance in the college football playoff. You could get upwards of $25 million if you hit all of their benchmarks that they have, which is performance-based. So if you're little old Wake Forest and you're not a school that garners a bunch of eyeballs, but you go on a run and you have a great year, you can get extra money performance-wise.
Right. So they're talking about skewing these and adjusting them every season.
Yes, to also include the your media value based off of, in large part, television ratings and how much people take your games in. Mm-hmm. Now, this does benefit some of the smaller schools, too, because say you have a year where you play Florida State and you play Miami, and you play Louisville, right?
Right.
Where if all of those schools are top 25 schools, more eyeballs are obviously going to be on those games and watching those games. So if your numbers, if you have a tougher schedule, more people are going to be watching your games inherently because there are games of importance,
but wouldn't that be when Florida State and Miami and such come through and say, but look, these eyeballs on this game are not because of Wake Forest, they're because of us?
Yes, and that is true, and they'll get a bigger chunk because week in and week out, their numbers are going to be bigger than anybody else. Mm-hmm. Because every week, people are watching them, not just the one-off. Hey, yeah, this game's on, people are going to watch for 10 minutes and then gone. So this is the way that the ACC is going to try and help their survival. I don't know if this is going to work.
Right.
Because Florida State and Clemson are going, all right, well, so we have to hit the performance metric. We have to make sure people are watching every single game, every single week. Mm-hmm. And that's how we don't get just lapped every single year.
Uh-huh.
Is if we do this. Because, look, in 2 years, the SEC and Big Ten are going to be making like $30 million more on average per school.
Right.
And that is top to bottom than the ACC is.
Man.
$30 million a year.
Now, part of these discussions, isn't it also part of it, too, talking about amending the end of the grant of rights deal?
Yeah, lopping 6 years off of it. So as it currently stands, the grant of rights, which are the ironclad agreement that you have to pay a steep penalty if you want to leave the conference prior to 2036. And this is what Florida State and Clemson are suing over, is the validity of the grant of rights, and it's not going well in courts. Mm-hmm. What they're saying is, all right, so what if we take 6 years off of that and we say at 2030, we call no counties, we're done. And the grant of rights, there is an out for the grant of rights. That is going to be the big sticking point for Florida State and Clemson.
Uh-huh.
Is do we want to be stuck for five more years and agree to this? Because if you agree to this, then the courts are going to say, all right, we're going to throw this out because you guys are saying you were misled in the original grant of rights. If you agree to stick around till 2030, there's no getting out any
earlier. You're stuck.
But this needs to be passed by 2/3 of the member institutions of the ACC. So there's no guarantee that the Wake Forest, Cal, Stanford, they're going to agree and be on board with this vote either.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be like, well, so you're telling us we have to hit all of the television metrics and the performance metrics to make sure we don't get lapped. Why would we see this as a good deal for us?
Right, exactly. Just to try to hang on to the two big pieces here that are already, you know, throwing a hissy fit about things.
But that's a big one, though, is because those are the schools that say, well, we don't have a better option right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still going to be better than, what, the $12 million that the Pac-12 is looking at getting per year. It's still better than that we'd be getting. It's not a great lot in life, but it's better than the alternative.
Yeah.
So this will be an interesting life raft for the ACC that they're trying to build for themselves, but there's nothing guaranteed. And I also think that this is why we saw the announcement last week of the Pac-12. The Pac-12 expanded because they knew what the ACC had going and what they were going to try and do to keep their conference alive. The prospects of Stanford and Cal leaving, I still don't think are very high.
Right.
And this is why,
unless it blows up,
you're seeing the ACC be so proactive in their survival, is that they know that there are sharks in the water. They are circling. The ACC knows that. And the Pac-12 knows it, too. That's why you get the four from the Mountain West. Now that's why you're hearing about Tulane in Memphis, because you want to scrape up those teams before the ACC starts going for scraps too. And it is a good sign that the Pac-12 was proactive finally. They went and they finally did something where they didn't sit on their haunches and wait for good news. They went and created a little news of their own to ensure a little bit of survival. Now you've got to go and if Memphis and Tulane are the two teams you're eyeing, you got to go get them.
Yeah.
And you got to go get them now.
Yeah.
Because there's no guarantees that this proposal for the ACC is going to stick. And there's no guarantees that Stanford and Cal are going to come back. Because if you're not proactive in going and getting Memphis and Tulane, Florida State and Clemson leave the ACC. If the ACC goes, fine, we'll go grab those two schools. There's no guarantee. Stanford and Cal wouldn't have a reason to leave. They still have money. The competition's gotten, their path has gotten easier.
Mm-hmm.
Because Florida State and Clemson are gone, it's easier for them.
So say Florida State and Clemson leave, and they'll be going someplace like the SEC, right?
Well, they don't want them. Like, that's the thing. Nobody wants Clemson and Florida State right now.
Yeah. Because the Big 12?
Because if the SEC goes and they bring in Florida State and Clemson, they then have to go to their TV partners and say, we need $100 million more per year.
Right.
And do you think ESPN's going to be like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, probably not.
No, $100 million more a year?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. And the ESPN has the out. They can back out of their ACC agreement in 2027.
Okay.
Which is another layer to all of this.
Right. So my question was going to be, should they leave, how many of the other ACC teams do you see landing in what is currently a power conference? And that's basically excluding the Pac-12.
Because
by that point,
outside of Clemson and Florida State.
Because if the ACC, yeah, outside of them.
Yeah.
Because if the ACC blows up, then that leaves you with three power conferences. And that's even kind of saying something for the Big 12.
Well, I think the Big 12 does survive in this because, like, if the SEC or Big 10 don't want Miami, Big 12 would say, yep.
Yeah.
We'll get into South Florida. We already have Central Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're starting to create a pod in that part of the country. I think that the Big 12 will go after Duke. I think the Big Ten goes after North Carolina. And if those two split, we know the Big 12 has their eyes on being a basketball power.
Mm-hmm.
So you add Duke, and then you already have West Virginia. So you're already up in that area. Do you go and try to get Virginia as well? Does the Big Ten want Virginia? They've been rumored to have their eye on UVA and in Charlottesville. So I think that
Syracuse is a basketball school.
Syracuse, I just think they go back to the Big East.
Yeah.
I think they go to the Big East, and what we may see is like Syracuse, Boston College going back to the Big East, because UConn is currently there, and maybe you peel off enough programs to where you can rebuild the Big East as a football conference as well, because that now it's not a power conference for football,
right?
But if you go and you say, if you get Syracuse, Boston College, Louisville, Pitt. You add Connecticut because they've got football. You're at five right there. Wake Forest, add them into a Big East potentially. And I don't know, but like then you have your wild card teams. I don't know what happens to a school like North Carolina State.
Yeah.
Does the state of North Carolina force Carolina to take them with them? By all accounts, that appears to be what the plan is.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. But on the surface, Miami stays as a power. And Carolina, Virginia, Duke stay as powers in power conferences outside of, obviously, Florida State and Clemson. Everybody else, it's a free-for-all, man.
Yeah.
It's a free-for-all. Oh, Virginia Tech could go back to the Big East, too.
Okay.
So, I mean, they could feasibly put together a football conference from the Big East, in the Big East.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what you do with UMass. Like, UMass has a terrible football program, but they could link up, and all of a sudden, you've got eight schools for Big East football to be back. Maybe that is a pathway. I don't know if the Big East wants to get in that game.
Right.
But there's a pathway for that to happen and for survival to be there as well. All right. Big news, though, from Ross Dellinger last night. 503-864-6326. That's the Vancouver Ford text line. Danny and Dusty wrapping it up on a Wednesday on The Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, the WNBA presser is going off. That's where Danny is right now. He's at that WNBA presser. Ron Wyden, Rip City is now WNBA City. We're not renaming Rip City WNBA City.
No.
It is a WNBA City.
Yes.
Not it.
No.
Ron Wyden. He's at the presser. He actually was very instrumental in getting the WNBA here, too.
Yeah. He'd been. I follow him on the old tweeters. He'd been active on there, championing the project.
Yeah. I sat here. I saw all of, on my Twitters. I saw this pop up, and I went, oh. Somebody posted old-time hardball, right?
Mm-hmm.
Posted this little graphic. It said batting average for each MLB team in 1980. There's 26 teams in Major League Baseball.
Okay.
And I was going down the list there, and it had a bunch of guys. George Brett hit 390 that year. Good year for George Brett.
That's a good year.
But I was going, God, there's so many guys hitting over 300. This is crazy. And I ended up counting up. Of the 26 teams, 22 of them had batters hit over 300.
Man.
Of the 26 teams. And I was like, good Lord. So I looked it up. In 1980, 43 guys hit over 300.
Not too shabby.
You know how many guys hit over 300 this year?
No.
This is the biggest. Oh, baseball's changed.
Yeah.
Eight.
Eight?
We have eight.
Eight?
We currently got eight guys hitting over 300. And one of them is Jose Altuve, who's at 301 right now. Could go either way.
I didn't think we were going to be getting down to, you know, being able to use all our fingers to count.
Yeah. You got eight.
Except for Uncle Spud.
And only seven teams are represented, Uncle Spud.
He can't use his fingers to count to eight.
No, he can't. No. That damn washer-dryer accident got him. Got some of them digits. Yeah, only seven teams represented and only eight guys hitting over 300 in Major League Baseball.
That is wild.
And in 1980, this is like how much baseball has changed. 43 guys hitting over 300 and 22 of 26 teams in baseball had a hitter over 300.
That is wild.
Only seven.
Wow.
Only seven teams represented.
That's crazy.
Only eight guys hitting over 300.
Man.
Yeah. Times have changed.
Yes.
A little bit. That was eye-opening for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Wow. Already done, huh?
Yeah.
Look at this. It's football season, man. This is what happens. We had two baseball segments, though, including this one. Look at that.
And all basketball, right. Too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that'll do it for us today. Danny and I back in the saddle again tomorrow from noon all the way until 3 o'clock. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac and Souk right here on The Fan. My body's weak. I'm on the run. No time to sleep. I've got to ride, ride like the wind to be free again. And I've got such a long way to go. Such a long way to go. To make it to the border of Mexico. So I ride like the wind, ride like the wind. All you can eat all day.